sat down with our favorite Vatican watcher, Joan Lewis, EWTN's Rome Bureau Chief, for a look at the past week's events here in the Vatican and beyond. Come join us in studio. Thank you, Joan, for joining us here in studio. We haven't seen you for the past week because the Pope has been away in Mexico and Cuba, and
right.
Here at Vatican Radio, we've been inundated with
for some
with
reason all your attention was dedicated to Mexico, Cuba, and Benedict the 16th. I certainly understand that. Well, he's back in Rome, safe and sound.
Right.
And
but I wanted to ask you, what was your take on that trip of the Pope's to both Mexico and Cuba?
Absolutely awesome, especially, of course, the Cuba part of the trip. This was a trip that could have been exploited in many, many ways, and yet leave it to Benedict to just be this wonderful, calm person who's delivering a message of Jesus Christ and telling people, you know, the Catholic Church, I speak for the Church, we don't want power. He stressed this at the very, very end. I think it was his final homily. We don't want power in the sense of political power. We simply want space. We do want religious freedom. We want the space to bring our message, to fulfill the command of Jesus to bring his message throughout the world. And if you go back to the first part of the trip, Mexico, which, like as we're talking, seems like, you know, a month ago, you have a country that until fairly recently had many, many prohibitions on Catholics. The anti-clerical laws of the Constitution of 1917 in Mexico, and then the Cristeros War from 1926 to 1929, where tens of thousands of Mexicans died simply for the right to be able to profess their faith. So you have the Pope visiting a country that not that long ago established diplomatic ties with the Holy See and has since been a country of many, many, very numerous, of course, faithful Catholics. And the reception, I think the Holy Father was blown away at a couple of instances when he was told this or that spot where there's going to be a mass can accommodate so many people and, you know, tens of thousands, 200,000, whatever, and then they practically doubled. And I know that happened in Cuba as well. He was at his first stop, Santiago, which is very interesting. Santiago's on the southeastern end of this Caribbean island, and Havana's on the northwestern. Mm-hmm. So if you look from the point of view of the Pope's trip, had he gone to Havana first and then to Santiago, even his trip home would have been shorter because he would have been, you know, further east. But anyway, he decided to make Santiago his first trip, also because John Paul, when he went there in 98 to Cuba, this was one of the spots that he wanted to visit Our Lady of Charity of Cobre. And
which was celebrating its 400th anniversary
of the rediscovery of this little statue, which had been found, I think it was 1606. There were two young boys and a slave who were found this statue floating in the waters off of the bay of, I think you say, Nipe. And it had written on it, I am the Our Lady of Charity. And Cobre, by the way, the name El Cobre, which is where this ended up, this statue was brought to the copper mines of Cobre, and it wasn't until like 10 or so years later that an actual mini shrine was established. The El Cobre means copper, and that refers to the copper mines, so she's Our Lady of El Cobre, the copper virgin, if you will. So you're right. The Holy Father, Pope John Paul, had wanted to go there, was unable to do so. And Benedict was quite clear that it was his wish, but his wish to fulfill John Paul's wish to go there.
But, so, you know, also I thought it was very interesting. Pope John Paul II asked Fidel Castro to establish a national holiday on Christmas.
Yes.
And he did it.
Yes.
And this trip, Pope Benedict is asking Fidel Castro's brother, Raul Castro,
right,
the president, to establish Good Friday
as national,
exactly,
holiday. And apparently this came out in their private discussion, at which Father Lombardi, of course, was telling the journalist at moments like that when the media is not present. He was telling the journalist that this was the Holy Father's request, and apparently the government did say, you know, we will take it under consideration. So we have Good Friday coming up. Will it be this year? Will it be next year? Obviously, if it's going to be this year, we'll in a few days we will We will see if that comes to fruition. But more than anything else on the Cuba part of the trip, the Mexico part was ecstatic. And Mexican President Felipe Calderon and his wife and entourage met the Holy Father on a number of occasions. But the masses were, to say well attended is obviously an understatement.
At that first one in León, they were expecting 350,000
people. Yeah, and it was like double.
Yeah. Almost 500,000 or more.
Well, you know what? And what stunned people, from the Pope's arrival, I think it was 34 kilometers, like 20 miles, from his arrival to where he was going to be staying, that entire route was packed with people, 6, 7, 8 deep. Hundreds of thousands, 20 miles. That's a huge distance. And for people just to stand there, and of course the Popemobile goes by you like a white flash, and you don't get to really see the Holy Father, but everybody there will be the tens of thousands of people who had their moment in the sun because they did see the Pope as he whizzed by. But so that was a rapturous welcome in Mexico, and very much likewise in Cuba.
But one of the interesting things also that came out of the Pope's visit to Cuba was that he was asking also that countries who have the embargo against Cuba reconsider that embargo.
Yes, it has not worked for 50 years or however long it has been in place. It will continue to not work. So just look at the human dignity element of this. Look at the things that have not been allowed in Cuba all of these years. There were a number of Cuban Americans who had come from Miami with the Archbishop Wenske from Miami to visit. I think there were 300 or so, and he very much said what the Holy Father did, I mean, about the embargo and the way of governing changing. And the Pope said it before he left. He said, Cuba has to change. The world has to change.
Well, I'm afraid we're going to run out of time if we focused the entire show on
which is easy to do. Yes,
it sure is easy to do on Mexico and Cuba. However, we did see a very important, the Pope's message for World Youth Day this year coming out this week.
You know, it came out on Tuesday, and of course, this is for the 27th World Youth Day, which will be celebrated in dioceses throughout the world Palm Sunday, April 1st. And I think a lot of people don't realize Youth Day is not just the international celebration every 2 or 3 years. It is also every year on Palm Sunday. And the Pope chose the theme, Rejoice in the Lord Always, from Paul's letter to the Philippians. And he begins by noting that joy is at the heart of the Christian experience. He said, this is what we have when we all get together in Rome or elsewhere for World Youth Day. And he urges, the Holy Father does then develop 6 different topics relative to joy. Our hearts are made for joy, the joy of love, the joy of conversion, and so forth. But he mostly encourages young people to be missionaries of joy. And he said, we cannot be happy if others are not. And what I love, he said, we cannot keep the joy of faith to ourselves. If we are to keep it, we must give it away. Beautiful, beautiful words.
One of the things that struck me in that message to young people, he said that Christianity is sometimes depicted as a way of life that stifles our freedom and goes against our desires for happiness and joy. But so what he's saying is instead, look for the positive things. Look for the joyful things in our faith.
Well, he's basically asking the young people, hey, tell people this isn't so. I don't care what they think about Christianity. We're a lot of rules, thou shalt not, etc. We are not negative people. We are joy-filled people because of the man who's the central part of our life, and that's Jesus. So his words asking young people practicing their faith, go out and tell the others, say it isn't so, when to those who say that Christianity is negative or boring, even boring, he used that word too.
Another thing he said was that may your entire life be guided by a spirit of service and not by the pursuit of power, material success, and money.
And, you know, it's interesting. In the meeting with Fidel Castro, the last day that he was in Cuba, actually it was Fidel Castro who was more the questioner in that event. And he asked the Pope basically what it was like to be Pope and so forth, and like, what do you do, you know, on any given day? And he asked him about what he means and represents to the Church. And that's really it. If you look at one of the titles of the Popes, you look at how many times John Paul said he loved this title, and Benedict too, the servant of the servants. They're there not to have this power. They are there to serve and be there for others, for their brothers and sisters.
Okay. Well, Joan, I can't think of a better way to end the show today. Thanks so much for coming in. We'll see you again next
and
week.
Holy Week.
Yeah, that's right. We'll have to grab you on a...
My way to church.
That's right. Okay. Bye-bye.